See what I'm saying? Faith was supposed to be a simple thing. There was an old covenant based on your works and how good you are. If you're good and obedient, you'll be blessed. And every religion's based on that. If you're not good and you do the wrong thing, then you won't be blessed. But even God knows, I know man can't keep that thing. I gave the law to prove to them they couldn't keep it. He said, I gave the law so that sin would increase. So if you want sin to increase in your family, put them under the law. It will increase. Does that make sense? And so he said, I wanted to put the law in there. Hey, when you were out of covenant, you blew it. Romans 1. With the people in the covenant, you blew it. And the whole point of all that was so everybody, God could treat everybody the same, so we'd all have to receive his grace. That nobody can do it. Amen? You guys get this? So the old covenant was based on works, but I still gave you a way out. If you brought a lamb, all those promises are still yes, and you're sinless. But you got to do it every year and every time you sin, right? The new covenant was of faith. That doesn't mean your level of faith. It was supposed to mean those were types and shadows. This was the reality. Now faith is the title deed, the substance. So what I'm trying to show every one of you is you own the joint heir. You're a son. You're not a slave of the old covenant. Does that make sense? The old covenant, they called them slaves and servants. New covenant, he goes, I brought in this system where you can now call him dad, and you can be a son. Full rights to the kingdom. I know some of you guys, your brain's already going, yeah, but what if I didn't do this? That's what I'm trying to get over with all of you guys. Amen? So you can actually enjoy the new covenant. Does that help you guys? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. The king of the universe is your dad. Hallelujah. That's what I want to show you. And so we've been talking about this old covenant. See, the book of Hebrews is so powerful to me. And Hebrews literally means the crosser overs. They're crossing out of the old covenant into a new covenant. And so that's why if you look at Hebrews, the whole point is, hey, the old covenant had this. There's a new covenant that's better. The old covenant had a high priest. The new high priest is better. The old covenant had these promises. The new promises are better. The old covenant had blood of a furry animal. The new covenant is blood of Jesus himself, the real lamb. Does that make sense? The old covenant you couldn't touch. He says, listen, you didn't come to Mount Sinai where even if an animal touches you, you get speared. And even unless there's a death proven, you can't come to it. The new covenant, you come to a new mountain, which is what? Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen? With spirits of just men made perfect, with better covenant, with better blood, etc. And you can boldly go to that one. So the whole thing, Hebrews was talking about, they're coming out of, they're exiting this old slavery thing. And then, but they're entering into this new promised land where Jesus did all the work and we can receive it all. You guys get it? That has to be a picture of that, because otherwise you're going to start taking these teachings and things out of the old covenant. And even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you start teaching things that Jesus was telling the religious leaders of their day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you go, look what Jesus said. Man, I can show you lots of things what Jesus said, right? But who is he saying it to is the key. So he was saying to the only people he really got upset with, the religious leaders that said, you need to do these things and obey these commandments in order to receive these blessings. That's what he got mad at. Because Jesus said, I freely give them. Right? Even when and what I'm trying to teach you is the kingdom's here and you're in it. Does that make sense? There's nothing to wait for. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and now we're still waiting for him. And he's going, no, I finished it. When I said it's finished, I meant it was finished. If he said it was finished, do you think he meant it was finished? And then we get into Bible studies, and then we go, what do you think he meant? I don't think he really meant it was finished. No, I think he meant it was finished. When he said it's finished, I think he meant it was finished. I think all these New Testament authors, when they're saying things, I think they meant what they said. Does that make sense? So I'm going to show you again today just how good this crossing over is, the old covenant and the new covenant, so that you're excited about Jesus. Jesus is what it's all about. Jesus said that whole book, the law, the prophets, everything was written about me. Isn't that beautiful? So when you get him, and now he's given you his name, you're part of the family, all these new things, it's yours. Praise God. Does that help you guys? So I want you to get excited about it because it actually really is a good covenant. I probably would have gotten saved a lot earlier if I would have knew these things because I thought it was not hanging out with my friends anymore, being riotous and being crazy. And so, because I knew I was bad. I didn't need to come to church and have you tell me. I was trying to avoid you because I already felt bad. But I don't really need another person to point their finger at me and you're bad. I go, I get it. I'm not even trying to be good. But if Jesus goes, no, you're perfect. And now I can bring you into this perfection. Now you can reign with me. All the things that you were trying to desire to do, he goes, now I assure you we'll do it together. That's a cool covenant. You guys get it? All right, so let's talk about this. I'm going to go back to 2 Kings. I won't spend a lot of time here, but Elijah, if you understand it, Elijah was, hey, I'm Jehovah God. That's how he introduced himself to Moses. And Moses was a picture of what? The old covenant law, right? That's why Moses couldn't even enter into the promised land, because he missed one thing. And if you miss one thing, you can't even go in. Praise God. Joshua, Yeshua, had to bring him in. So Elijah was the old covenant, which is fire and judgment, right? Elisha literally means, El is God, God's salvation. So Elijah was a picture of the old covenant. They crossed over at the River Jordan. Elisha is now God's grace. And if you go look at it, is Elijah brought down fire, etc.? You know, the disciples, when they went through the village of Samaria and they didn't receive him, they said, you know what, should we call down fire and brimstone and just like a spirit of Elijah? And what was Jesus' answer? Yeah, do it. Get those guys, right? No, he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. He goes, the spirit I'm going to give is you can call him dad. You'll no longer fear this judgment of God. He's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and now you can call him father. See, the Jews wouldn't even write Yahweh. They wouldn't write Jehovah because it was too sacred. Now, so think about this. Jesus comes in. No wonder that it was tough for them to get. I'm trying to teach this to Christians, and they think it's blasphemous. Think about the Jews. You know, they're going, we had to do all these things. We can't even write his name. And then he goes, no, I'm going to give you my name. Not only can you write it, you're supposed to pray in my name, like you're equal with me. Whoa, that doesn't happen. Does that make sense? So no wonder they thought, all this is crazy talk. That can't be that good. Stone him, right? Show him the law. That's what all the stones is all about. So that's what I'm trying to show you. This crossing over is, oh, the whole Bible is an old covenant, the new covenant, and the new covenant's better, and it's good. All right? So 2 Kings. So if you understand Elisha is God's grace, and here's what Elisha said. He said, listen, I want the double portion, which is the firstborn's portion. Hey, that's my inheritance. So the first Adam, what was our inheritance? If you sin, you shall surely die. Right? So Jesus comes, Elisha, which is a picture of Jesus, he comes to Elijah and he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. Fall on me. This is where people miss it. And he says, you know what? Okay, that is a hard thing. That's a severe and harsh thing, but nevertheless, I'll do it. So Jesus goes to the Father. They negotiate this thing and said, I don't want my children to die. I want that spirit to fall on me. Death and judgment fall on me. And if you see that Elijah, Jehovah God, that old covenant judgment is taken from you, you will receive the double portion. And it says, you will be able to say, my Father, after that. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm trying to show you. So this is Old Testament picture. 2 Kings 2, verse 12, Elisha, which is God's grace, saw it, and he cried out, my Father, my Father. So he saw the judgment of God. He saw Yahweh God leave. Follow me? But after that, this is where people get confused. He said, listen, all the judgment fell on him. But then after that, he said, now, Father, he called him Father again. He first called him, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God left, his presence left, that old covenant system. I'm going to show you that in Scripture. And he goes, my God. He didn't call him Daddy. He didn't call him Father. Why did you leave me? Because God's presence wasn't there. But after all the judgment had fallen, it was dark for 3 hours, so nobody else saw that but him. Amen? Because he didn't want anybody else to see it. He wanted Elisha, the only person to see that. So, because it says, if you see this, that double portion is going to fall on you. So he made it completely dark so nobody could see it. You guys get it? Jesus is the only one who sees it. The judgment falls on him. After the judgment's gone, now he can call him Father again. He says, Father, into your hands I give you my spirit. And he cleaned out his head. He rested. Why? Because it was done. The curse has been reversed. Amen? It's all done. And he rested. Now he received his spirit. Now, Jesus says, Elisha, he says, listen, if you see me leave, it's really good that I leave. It's not good if you saw Elijah leave. So he made it dark. Praise God. See how the Bible actually makes sense it doesn't make sense if you go to most Bible studies, but it actually does make sense if you go to Bible study. What do you think he means by this? I just remember I heard like 12 people tell me what they thought they meant, and they're all different. I go, this is no value to me. Is Lord, what do you mean? And then he starts to show you. Does that make sense? So when we see Jesus leave, he said, listen, once you see that happen, my mantle, my spirit's going to fall on you, which is spirit of sonship, where we can call him Abba, Father. No judgment ever again. Amen? All right, so Elisha saw him leave, and he cried out, my Father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. So he saw him no more. The law is no more. He doesn't see any judgment anymore. You guys get it? So don't look for it. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Now, some of you guys don't know this, but the Levitical priesthood, when they tore their garment, that priesthood is over. So when Caiaphas, the high priest, says, hey, you tell me plainly whether you're son of God, he says, I am that. And Caiaphas tore his garment. That meant old covenant priesthood's over. It's of no value. His priesthood's over. But Jesus' garment, I know it says he tore his own garment, meaning his flesh. It tells us later, it says his flesh was the thing that torn. But how many of you know, his garment, his robe, was it ever torn? No. So his priesthood is forever. Caiaphas' priest, he tore his. But Jesus was so precious, they cast lots for it. His garment was never torn. His body was torn, which is flesh. He was torn in half on the cross so that the veil is torn. I'm going to show you that in the New Covenant. I just want you to understand these types and pictures, okay? So he saw him no more, and he took his own clothes, and he tore them into two pieces. Not his priestly garment, though. That stayed. Caiaphas's was torn, but his stayed. That means his priesthood is forever. Isn't that cool? And his priesthood's better. He's the Melchizedek priesthood, not the Levitical priesthood. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen on him and went black and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then the mantle of Elijah that he had fallen from him struck the water. What was water at the Jordan? What was that a picture of? The flood. It says, when Jesus, they said it was at flood stage, right? The harvest is plentiful, but there's a flood. What was the flood always about in Scripture? God's judgment, right? You'll always watch the Israelites when they truly crossed over in water, dry land. They either walked above the water like Peter, right, like the ark, or it was dry. They were never under the water. Jesus was the true ark that went under the water, took the sin of the world, and then came up, and then the dove came on him. Just like the dove came on the ark, he sent the raven, which feeds on death. That spirit of Elijah is gone. So the raven didn't come back, but who came back? Spirit of the dove. So Jesus is the true ark. He goes in, takes all the sin, comes out of the River Jordan, and a dove lands on the true olive branch, Jesus Christ. See, it's types and shadows. The Spirit came on him after all the judgment was gone. You guys get this? So Jesus receives the mantle of Elijah. He strikes the judgment of the water. And then what happens? We'll read it. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. He struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, meaning it went up, just like when the Israelites went across out of Exodus. The waters went and were parted all the way back to a city called the first man, Adam, right? So all the judgment, all the way back to Adam, was taken care of. You guys get it? So this is just another picture of it. It's just over and over and over, he shows you these same things. He says, listen, that judgment of Elijah struck the water, the waters parted, now I can cross over. I can be a Hebrew and actually cross into the new covenant. You guys get it? If you read other things into this, you're going to get weird teaching. You're going to get a weird Elijah teaching. So, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and the salvation of God crossed over into the promised land. You guys get it? Okay, now let's look at New Covenant. All right, Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. I already kind of taught you all this, but the reason it was dark is said, because if you see me leave, if you see God's presence leave, then the mantle of Elijah, God's judgment is going to fall on you. So he makes it completely dark so only one person sees him. Who's that? Jesus. So the judgment falls on Jesus, not you and I. Isn't that beautiful? It's so awesome if you understand it. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That's my God, why have you forsaken me? Wait a minute. He's saying something different here, right? But he's also going to say, my Father at the end. The judgment, the mantle of Elijah fell on him and God's presence left him, right? So he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Spirit of Jesus comes and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But only if you sin and quench the Spirit and make it, no, you weird covenant charismatic. I'm all those. I get it. I went to all those meetings and did all those things, you know. So I'm not, I'm trying to free you up from a lot of this stuff. Like God's presence will never leave. Amen? Don't quench the Spirit. You can't. It's impossible. He goes, I'll never leave you. Well, we need to pray and fast to seek his presence. No, I just asked. He's right here. Hallelujah. It's a better covenant. That's why Jesus said, hey, the old covenant, they prayed and fasted to seek his presence. And they're going to Jesus, you're confusing me. These other disciples pray and fast, but you don't. You eat and drink. What's with that? Not only that, you drink wine. Whoa. Well, it wasn't really wine. It's just this. That's what they were doing. No, it was, you eat and drink. What's up with this? He goes, why would they fast when the bridegroom's here? The only point of praying and fasting, the old covenant, was to seek his presence. And now I'm here. Why would they pray and fast? It's time to celebrate, boys. It's time to eat the feast, is what he's trying to say. So if you want to pray and fast, have at it. I'm going to feast, right? I'm going to stay up all night praying and fasting. I'm going to sleep and eat. It's wonderful, this new covenant that I've got. Amen? You guys, I'm serious. That's what it's all about. It's supposed to be the wedding feast of the Lamb. We're supposed to be feasting right now because we'll have his presence forever. And Jesus said, there will be a time where you'll pray and fast. When was that? He was in the grave 3 days, and when he left, he hadn't sent the Spirit yet. But now he sent his Spirit. Now he never leaves. It's over. Whoa. Praise God. Try eating a little bit. You'll be less grumpy, right? You'll be less hangry. So, and if you want to, go for it. I'm just saying, you don't sanctify yourself one iota. You don't. I'm trying to go, you're seeking him. Why just not go? He's here. Hallelujah. Amen? That's why it's so radical. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right. The man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, and he offered him to drink. Hey, that was the last. The generational curse is over. It says, you know what? As soon as they drink the fruit of the vine, even sour wine, this proverb will no longer be said in Israel that they'll eat, their teeth will be set on edge because of their father's sin. Generational curses is a myth in the new covenant. It's over right there. Does that make sense? You just got to read that was a type and shadow. He says, as soon as this happens, when they take the sour wine, you can actually enjoy the fruit of the vine again, is what it says, and that generational curse is over. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? You don't need to go to the deliverance and jump in the water. He jumped in the water for you, and now you can walk across on dry land. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. I know some of you guys don't get this, but it's... Verse 49, the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come save him. They know what he was doing, you know, because they knew their old covenant pretty good. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two. Remember we saw in 2 Kings, he goes, his own flesh was torn in two. Why was it? Why was his own flesh? What's this a picture of? His own flesh, not his outer garment, not his Holy Spirit garment. That was never torn. Caiaphas was torn, the old covenant priest, right? It was his body that was torn, his flesh. What is he saying? Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The veil of the temple, this old covenant temple, why was that veil torn from top to bottom? Exposed the holiest of holies now. Why could it be torn? God's not there anymore. He's out of there. He left. Jesus saw him leave. Does that make sense? You don't need a veil to separate man from that holiest of holies anymore because he's not there anymore. He's going to come back. You know where he's going to tabernacle? In you. It's so awesome. People don't get it. So, and I'm going to show you this tabernacle of David's already been established. It says it has been. And everybody's waiting for it to be established. But in Book of Acts, Peter and Simeon said, it's already been established. So we're still waiting for it. And I'm trying to show you, no, we're in it. He's established it. Okay? So, it was torn in two from top to bottom. The earthquake, the rock split. If he going in that, dead bodies came out of the grave. And so Grandpa came out and said, man, this new covenant is really good. And that would freak some people out. That's what happened. So after Jesus was the first fruit, then the first portion of the harvest came in. And it was waved through the streets, if you look at the street. So not only Jesus was the first fruit, but there were several dead people that came back. And they were paraded through the street, just like that feast of the first fruits. Amen? And then... at the end, when the whole Jewish system was done in AD 70, all of them received their glorified body. All of them. All of them that came out of the grave that were dead in righteousness. Amen? That's weird, isn't it? So, let's keep going. Jesus took the spirit of Elijah, the fire and judgment. He saw his presence leave. That's why he said, my God, my God. But after all the judgment was gone, now he could call him Father again and can finally rest from his work. His work was to destroy the works of the devil and bring you back into the presence of the Father. Something radical that the Jews never understood. They never understood they could call him Father. You can call him your dad. The King of the universe is your dad. There is nothing to worry about. Does that make sense? There's no emergencies in the kingdom. Because the King's on the throne, and he's your dad. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? We received the spirit of Elisha, which is El Shah, God's salvation. That's the spirit we received, right? And now we can go straight to the Father. Now the Jew and the Gentile can both approach the Father directly. Why? Because the veil's been torn. You can go straight into the holiest of holies. In the old covenant, only the high priest could go with blood. That meaning somebody had to die for you to go into God's presence because those veils separated our sinfulness from his presence. Jesus took all the sin for the rest of your life, and now there's nothing that ever separates you from his presence. You guys get it? Okay. So now Jew and Gentile both approach the Father directly. By covenant, we are now sons. That's why it's a better covenant. The old covenant of the law, they only called them servants. Amen? The new covenant, you're no longer a servant. That's why the prodigal son said, listen, I've wasted my life, and I'm doing all these things. At least the servants eat better in my father's house. Right? And he goes back. Was he in complete faith? That's what I'm trying to show you. Was he in unbelief? Yes. How did the father respond? Let me see your faith meter and see if you got enough. Then I'll do this. No. See, that's why that teaching has destroyed so many people, I think, because they're not receiving what's freely theirs, because they're trying to get this level to that level. And no, he came in literally unbelief. He goes, I'm just going to go back to my father because I know my father's good. And at least even the servants there. But did he treat him as a servant when he came back? He didn't even talk about what he did wrong. This is where Christians miss it. And it's okay to come to him and go, Lord, I blew it. I do it all the time. Lord, I blew it. Again. It's me again. Right? Yeah, one more time. Twice in the last hour, Lord. Right? I know I should be hearing you and following you perfectly, but I watched the Yankees game and ate wings instead. I'm just trying to free you up from all the nonsense teaching. You know, unless you hear him perfectly and follow him perfectly, good luck. Good luck. Go back to where you last heard him. I don't know when that was. If I knew when I did, I could go back. How's he always going to respond to me? He's going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I thought or asked. I was just coming back to be a servant. And he goes, no way. Put the robe of righteousness on. Put the shoes back on. Put the ring, the signet back on. In fact, that signet ring, you can pray and act as if you're me. And the old brother's ticked off about it because he's going, look at how good I am. I pray and fast and do all these things for you. You never even gave me a lamb. He goes, no, I gave you a lamb. You just never asked for it, old covenant. I'm not going into the party. I'm trying to get you into the party, okay? It's a party. So you guys get this? So he goes, this is why the new covenant's better. The lamb's been brought once and for all. Sin's been removed. The veil's been torn. You can go straight to the Father. Now if we need anything, what could we do? Ask. And he doesn't do this. You asked with the wrong motive. I know there's teaching. No. He goes, sometimes you don't know what you need, so I'm going to exceed that, not give you exactly what you asked for. But I'll always do exceedingly abundant, because that word to ask, Jeff Forrest and I were talking about this, so the Holy Spirit was prompting him, going, ahitio, ahitio, what is that? Like, so, man, that means require and ask. He goes, exactly. It's not how we think in English. Lord, will you please do this? And then sometimes he answers prayer, sometimes he don't. He's mysterious. He just works in mysterious ways. We never know. Right? Well, that sucks. Because I want a little more assurance than that. Right? If this new covenant's so good, that's not a very good teaching to me. Amen? That's wrong teaching is what it is. It's wrong. He goes, you ask, you shall receive so that your joy may be full. You're a son. Why would I not give it to you? It's already yours. My job is to show you what you already have, the title deed. So now when you require it, you simply go to the Father and he gives freely. It's so good when you get this. Does that make sense? So if you require anything, this new covenant, what he wants you to do is just go ask. And that word ask doesn't mean pretty, 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 please, Jesus. See, my faith meter's up. I delighted myself in you and I did all these things and can I please receive now? You could have received just by asking, but that's fine if you want to do all those things. He goes, I just answer them. Because you're a son. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You guys get it? Does that help you guys? It's that simple. That's why the new covenant's supposed to be that good. Now, I know we made faith these hoops that you have to jump through and gymnastics and pretzels and things, and you read these books on faith and go, man, it was easier to be a Jew. Just bring the lamb. That's all I need to do. And now he's going, it's a better covenant. The lamb's been brought. Now you just need to receive it. Follow me? Does that help? That's why it says, up until now, you haven't asked the Father for anything, but I've put you in the position where the veil is torn. Now you can just ask the Father, and you shall receive. Hallelujah. Put those other teachings away, right? Okay, so are you getting this? If you ask ahiteo, you'll receive it. That can't be. No, it's true. Some people are operating that way, amen? The challenge is we've got even timing. Bill Surface and I, you were talking about that. But faith is always now. And no, that teaching's wrong too. So all those things, they were hoping for something, but now faith is the reality. Those were types and shadows, now faith. And if you look at it, when they asked for things, they didn't receive it immediately. So then we think, well, I didn't receive this perfectly right now, so it must not be in faith. That's not what he's talking about. He goes, those were types and shadows. Faith is the reality. Now you ask the Father for anything that's covered by my salvation, you shall receive it. End of story. Full stop. That's good, isn't it? And then immediately you want to go, yeah, but what if I ask wavering? What if I'm double-minded? Let's cover that one real quick. James, right? What he's trying to tell them, he says, listen, to the 12 tribes scattered, go look at it. Was it written to you? Written for us, but not even written to you. It's the Jewish believers that are trying to cross over in this new covenant, and they're going back and forth, wavering, going, man, this is looking ugly. The Romans are terrorizing me, and people, the Jews themselves, he goes, don't be double-minded. Either it's Jesus or your works. It's not both. Does that make sense? If you ask, knowing that you receive it strictly by Jesus' work, none of yours, you will receive it. You'll receive it. But we get all these weird teachings about double-mindedness even. I'm just trying to get you, keep your eyes on what? Jesus. And if you keep your eyes on Jesus, how many of your promises are yes and amen? All. It's a better covenant with better blood and better promises. Amen? Now, do I still work with all those weird things? Yes, because I've been taught them. Like, God, who taught me that? Anyway, all right, let's finish this up. Acts 15:7. I'm talking about the veil's been torn, what this tabernacle of David's all about. Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us. Here's what was happening. The Jerusalem Council was, here's what's going on, just to give it in context. I didn't want to write it all. So God's pouring out his spirit on Gentiles too, and they're operating in miracles, and all these things are happening, and the Jews are a little concerned. They're going, we did all these things for all these years, and now they get it for free? What's up with that? Right? Seriously, that's what's going on. And so there were certain sects of the Pharisees and Sadducees that says, let's make them follow the law because we had to. It's not fair that the younger brother, the new covenant, gets all these things for free and we had to work for it. So let's tell them they need to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. Right? But when Peter went to Cornelius' house and preached that their sins were forgiven, did they follow the Sabbath? No, they were Gentiles. They weren't even part of the old covenant. Right? Did they do any of those things? No. But as soon as mankind, you mean I'm completely righteous despite me? The Spirit fell and they began to speak in tongues, is what it says. Right? So get it? So now Peter's reminding them of that. That's what's happening. They're going, hey, let's make them follow the law and earn this stuff. Hey, get pray and fast a little bit more so you flog yourself so you can receive the promises. You know why this is happening? Because you fought with your wife 2 weeks ago. And she told you, honey, your prayers are going to be hindered because we fought. You're missing it again. Instead of fighting, they should have just asked God. That's what he's trying to say. Your prayers, it's not like he's not going to answer you because you're completely righteous in the new covenant. It's saying, you're going to fight instead of ask me. And if you just asked me for my shalom, I would have given it to you a long time ago, but you're still trying to do all these weird things and earn it, right? God answers prayer, period, in the new covenant, all right? Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the good news and believe. So God, who knows their heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. They didn't do anything. They just realized they were completely righteous, and then the Spirit fell on them. No law keeping, no nothing. Right? And made no distinction between us and them. Ooh, that made them mad. It makes new covenant believers mad. You mean that prostitute is just as righteous as me? In the middle of her act, she's just as righteous as me. We need to tell her that. Does that make sense? Because if I'm guilty of one, I'm just as bad as everything. I don't want to use that because you get what I'm saying. That makes Christians angry. There's no distinction between us and them. Purifying their hearts by faith. Receive that my righteousness is a gift. You guys get it? So, and then he keeps going here. Verse 13, and after he, that stopped the mouths. That's why I said, hey, it's supposed to, the law was given to make them stop talking because they're all guilty, right? And after they become silent, James answered them, saying that James is Jesus' brother. Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with these words of the prophets agreed, just as is written. Now he's quoting Amos right here. So the old covenant is, Jesus is fulfilling all these things. Does that make sense? So verse 16, after this I will return. All right? And I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Who's the rest of mankind? Everybody outside the Jewish nation. All nations, right? All. This tabernacle is, anybody can come to it. And I'm going to show you just a picture of this in a second. After this, I will return. So the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. What he's telling them is, hey, no, this is the tabernacle of David that's being fulfilled right now. Other people are still waiting for the tabernacle of David, and they're telling you it already happened. You guys get it? Okay, so I just want to show you a picture. Barbara's telling me, people learn in pictures. That is the tabernacle of David. At the same time, the Jews had their other tabernacle still built. So do you know anything different of the tabernacle of David? It's open. There's no sacrifice, there's no laver, there's no holy place. You mean, anybody can go to God? Not just the high priest? The tabernacle of David has been restored so Jew and Gentile can go freely. Now the tabernacle of David, if you go look at it, there was sacrifices one time, and after that, all it was praise and worship. Why? Because it's been done. Does that make sense? We don't need to do this animal sacrifices. You don't need the lampstand. You don't need the altar of prayer, any of that anymore, because Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, which were the three doors into this holy place, right? He goes, now Jew and Gentile, everybody can go straight into the Father. Woo! So here they are. I think it was Mount Gibeon or whatever. Some of you guys know it better than this than I am. Mount Gibeon, they still had the old covenant temple up there for 40 years. During King David's reign, King David said, you know what? I'm a man after God's own heart. He doesn't want this whole sacrifice thing. He wanted to provide Jesus a body himself, and all he wants to give is mercy and grace. See, David committed two things that were punishable by death under the law. He goes, I know that's not God's heart. God's heart is mercy and grace. And I'm going to set up this temple in Jerusalem, and Jew and Gentile can go. I'm going to sacrifice one time when this thing is established. The rest of the time, all we're going to do is set up 24-hour praise and worship. Hallelujah. Get it? So the Levites had a new job in David's temple. They were just to praise and worship. Praise God. And now I hear all this stuff. Well, we're establishing the tabernacle of David. Well, good try, but he did it back then. Without an understanding, I get what they're trying to say. The tabernacle of David, all there is worshiping and dancing and singing, etc. Why? Because we can all go into God's presence and ask for anything that we need because he saved us. None of this thing where you have to put you on your cool white robe and your cool hat and you got to bring the lamb. Those are all pictures and types and shadows of Jesus. You go straight to the throne. You guys get it? Are you starting to get this? Now when we go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, well, I'm going to talk about Hebrews. Hebrews was the crossing over. Hey, these Jews are coming out of this old system. They're crossing over into the new covenant. And what's really fascinating to me, the more I study this, is the old covenant temple in David's time was on, I think it's Mount Gibeon. Some of you guys might know that. But he establishes the temple of David in Jerusalem. They're all doing their praises, sacrifices, everything for 40 years over here, but God's presence left. God's presence is at the tabernacle of David. And then, what's really interesting is after the true Lamb, after Jesus comes, you know what? The Jews still had their tabernacle set up for 40 years, just like they did. But at the end of that 40 years, destroyed. Type and shadow are perfect. Isn't that interesting? And if you go study this, it's pretty fascinating. So they still had their temple system from AD 30 to 70, right? But God's presence left, just like the old covenant. Hey, they were at Mount Gibeon trying to worship God, bringing their sacrifices, everything. And David sets it up over here in Jerusalem, goes, Jew and Gentile can come now. And all we do is praise and worship. And we can go straight into it. That's why David, these Psalms, he says, listen, I'm sitting in the shadow of the wings, right? So if you look at it, it was facing east. So when the sun goes down, David's right in God's presence, and the shadow of those wings on the ark is starting to cover him, to cast this long shadow. He goes, I stand in your shadow. I'm in the presence of the Most High. Nothing can touch me here because I'm in God's presence. What I'm trying to show you guys is that was a type and shadow. Nothing can touch you if you understand this. You're in the presence of the Most High, period. Amen. You're in the shadow of his wings, on the secret place. You guys get it? You're there right now is what I'm trying to show you. So, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, he passed through those veils. The real veils were these heavens. Jesus went straight through that outer curtain, the other curtain, went straight into the real temple, the holiest of holies, with whose blood? His blood. He went straight through those heavens, those veils. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. He doesn't find fault, guys. You can go to the Father and he won't go, why? Hey, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't believe this way. Wrong teaching. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. He sympathizes with us, right? But was in points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Thank God. The sin offering doesn't have to be ever offered again because he was the last Adam, the perfect Adam. We've been redeemed, restored, righteous forever. Now we're in his eternal heavenly kingdom forever. Hallelujah. Get it? 16, here's what he's trying to show them. Hey, that veil's been torn. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why would the Jews be a little nervous about going to God's throne? You die, man. Right? You die. You come without blood. He goes, no, that was a type and shadow. The real one, Jesus passed through the heavens with his own blood in the heavenly temple that was set up. The other tabernacle was just a type and shadow. The real one was in heaven, what he showed Moses, right? Moses, do this perfectly because it's going to be for the admonition of these people. When they see what happened here, that was just a type and shadow. The real one, the heavenly temple, that my son went through the veils. I put the blood on there, and I sat down seated. Now you're seated with him far above all principality and power. You're seated with him in the secret place. Nothing can touch you. You should walk out every day going, man, I am a blessed man of God. You should have no more consciousness of your sin. Your family members will give that to you for free. You don't have to do it. So, your Bible school, well, they'll do it for free. So, in fact, they'll charge you to show you you're not unrighteous, that you're still unrighteous. That's a bad deal to me. So, I can get it for free. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? This new one is the tabernacle of David. You can go straight to the Father's presence and you won't die. Hallelujah. So, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Guess what? The spirit of Elijah is not there anymore. We're going to be fire and judgment. What are you going to find there? Mercy and grace. So he's trying to show these Jews, come on, come all the way out of this old covenant system. Be the crosser overs that your book has said you are. Hebrew literally means cross over. I'm crossing over that river Jordan, coming out of the old covenant into the new one with better promises. So come boldly to the throne. The veils are torn. You can simply go to the Father. You guys get it? Now you have that inheritance. So let's finish up with these verses. Now these verses will make more sense. They're not hyper-faith verses for you. What he's trying to show you is there's a new reality of this new covenant. Because I know we twist these around trying to have enough faith and believe enough for this and believe enough for that. I just showed you. He's okay with your weaknesses is what he said. I can sympathize with you because you're man. Amen? So it's not your supernatural faith. Faith was just supposed to be, it's a reality. So what's the reality? John 16, 23, in that day you will ask me nothing. You don't have to come to Jesus anymore. Who can you go to? It's because Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, those veils. He was all that thing. He tore, his own flesh was torn, so all of you can go straight to the Father now. See how the Bible fits together? I'm just trying to show you, who do like to read it, you actually understand what you're reading. Okay? Because otherwise you'll come up with weird things. The Bible says this. I know, it says lots of things. So, in that day you will ask me nothing, most assuredly. How sure can we be when Jesus says most assuredly? You can be pretty sure, despite religion. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Where's the yabbit? It's not. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. His name is salvation. Whatever the first Adam lost, if he redeemed you from that, which is health, provision, peace, supernatural protection, peace of mind, all of that is yours for free. You ask the Father in that name. Does that make sense? It's yours. Bottom line. Does that help you guys? Yeah, but you don't know how messed up I am in my private life. Welcome to the club. Yes, I probably have a pretty good idea. But I think that's how we've looked at church. That's how we've looked at the kingdom for so long. We've missed it. And he goes, this is such a beautiful kingdom. Why are you guys screwing this up? Don't be double-minded. It's not based on faith and the law. It's pure grace. Amen? So, until you now, you've asked nothing in my name. But now, after this has all been done, when Jesus says it's finished and I come again, you see Elisha leave. He goes, it's going to be a good thing because then I'm going to send my comforter and that spirit of salvation is going to be on you forever. Amen? Now, ask ahiteo. If you require something, ask. What about the lamb? The lamb's been brought. What about my sin? I got to go get myself right with sin because if I don't forgive, then he won't forgive. That's before the cross. After the cross, he goes, now you forgive because you have been forgiven. You guys get it? Honey, stop arguing. God won't answer our prayer. Wrong answer. Ask ahiteo. If you require anything, you're a son, you're a joint heir, you own this whole thing with me, with Jesus Christ. Amen? Ask, you will receive. Is that pretty clear? Why? I want you to participate in this feast, this beautiful, joyful thing. So go get grumpy and pray and fast. Not required in the new covenant. Just trying to help you guys out. Some of you guys go, oh, I'm fast. I'm on the Daniel fast. Get off it. There's a feast. Amen? I know this is blasphemy to some of you guys, but if you understand why they prayed and fast, you'll finally get it. You'll eat a hot dog with me and you'll be full of joy. Just what it says. It's wonderful in the new covenant. All right? Galatians 4 says, this is what he's trying to show you. He's just trying to show you this new reality that you have. And because you are sons, you're no longer servants under the old covenant, right? You're not a slave anymore. You don't, I'm going to spend my life serving God. He wants you to party with him. The prodigal son said, I'm just going to serve God. Now, here, do I believe you should serve God? Yes, but you're going to do it out of complete joy because you realize he first served you. That's what he was telling Peter. Peter, unless you partake of me, you're not going to, you won't have a part of salvation. You can't do it, Peter. You need to partake of me. Then did Peter go serve? Yes. So we serve out of reality, like, wow, this covenant is so good, we want to serve you, Lord, just because you're so good. What if you don't serve God? Are the promises still yes and amen? Yes. Yes. So, hey, I love the fact that some of you guys want to serve, but just do it for the right motive. You don't have to. If you never serve, never feel guilty. Because I get it. Some of you guys are in business doing things. They go, trust me, you're serving. You're in your ministry. You don't need, the last thing I want you to do is show up every Sunday. I don't. I want you to go kick butt out there and show God by your actions. Amen? And then they go, man, because that's how I got saved. A church guy never would have saved me. Never. Because I'm like, man, I did that for 20 years. I didn't see anything I liked. Right? But then all of a sudden somebody's kicking butt in life and everything's good. And I go, whoa, that's pretty cool. He goes, yeah, it's Jesus, man. Whoa, I want that Jesus. I don't want the spirit of Elijah. I want Elisha. Does that make sense? No more judgment. That's gone. Because you are sons, God has sent out forth the spirit of his son into your heart. You didn't get the spirit of Elijah. That's what he said, of fire and judgment. If I go, I'm going to send you what? The comforter. And now you're going to be able to call him dad. That's blasphemy to a Jew. He's my dad. That's why in John 10:34, Jesus said, listen, why are you trying to kill me? All I said was that I'm the son. Your own law says ye are gods, Elohims. I'm just saying I'm a son. And you want to stone me for that? Your own law says not only you're a son, you're little Elohims, you're gods. Mm. There'd be gnashing of teeth in outer darkness. You guys know what the outer darkness was? There's the holy place, the holiest of holies, the holy place, the outer court. Heaven, earth, the holy place, the outer court, everything outside that were the seas of utter darkness because you weren't in the covenant. There's no light. That's why Jesus was warning them. He said, listen, if you don't understand, this whole thing's going to be taken from you and I'm going to cast you into the seas, into outer darkness where we'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But now Jesus, by his own blood, has brought us all in to the new heaven and earth. That's what he's trying to show you. Does that make sense? It's so good when you understand it. Because you are sons. Man, you're back into the covenant now. You're not in outer darkness. You're sons. He's given you not the spirit of Elijah where you go, fire and judgment. Whoa, watch out, right? He goes, no, I've given you a spirit of the comforter. What did Elisha do? He healed the waters. He did all. He raised the sons. He was a resurrection. He raised the son of the Shunammite woman. He went to this Naaman, their enemy, and healed their leprosy, their sins. Amen? Elisha went to everybody. Jews wanted it for themselves. No, this is mine. Galatians, because you are sons, God sent forth his spirit, not of Elijah. Elisha, where you can call him daddy. He said, if you see this, if you see the old covenant gone, Elijah will fall on you, but eventually you'll get my spirit where you can call him my father will fall on you. And I'm trying to proclaim that's what happened. That's what Peter stands up at Pentecost and said, whoa, this is what was prophesied in the book of Joel. His spirit's going to fall out on all flesh, Jew and Gentile. And all you're going to hear them speak in tongues is the wonderful works of Jesus. They're not going to be double-minded and mix the old and the new. All you're going to hear is them glorifying Jesus, not your works. You guys get it? Does that help you guys? So this is a really good promise, is it not? You need anything as a son, what do? Pray and fast. No. If you have at it, man, if you want to. I hope you understand. I'm trying to show you. Jesus was telling them, if you have me, you don't have to do it. You have the bread of life. Feed on me forever. Come party with me. I prepared a feast. Those Jews didn't come, and so they were left out. So I went out to the highways and the byways and said, hey, you sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, the guys who it was prepared for didn't come, so why don't you come? And we all said, thank you. We'll come. Yeah, but you know what? I think you should follow the law of Moses and do all these things. No, they covered that at the Jerusalem council. They said, the heck with that old thing. None of you could do it anyway. That's what Peter said. All they needed to know is they're forgiven of sins and they have their sonship back restored. Whew, new covenant. Thank you, Father. You guys get it? Does that help you guys? So, all right. Yeah. Okay, stand your feet. I'm trying to show you how good this is. Guys, you don't have to have supernatural faith. You have to realize faith is the reality that this is true. What if you waver? Still true. Amen? What if my this is bigger than that? Still true. Still true. I know that's so hard. Get all of that mixture out of there, man. This new covenant is Jesus' works, period. Qualify me for it. I know some of these people are asking me, God, how do you figure all that? I don't know. He's showing me things that I'm stupid most of the time, but he's showing me some of the stuff. It makes sense to me. And what he's trying to show you is you don't need to know any of that. Because I tell a lot of you guys this, is at the end of the day, I do this all the time. Do I get into scriptures that I don't know? Every day. And finally, I just figured out, you know what's easier just to go, Lord, I'm missing something here. Because the good news has to be good news. So you just show me what it is. And guess what? He starts to show you. It's pretty fascinating. So if you forget anything, if you think, oh, I don't understand anything he just said, here's the good news. He's forgiven every one of your sins. As if you've never sinned. All the sin was backed up to a city called Adam. And he restored you back into sonship. If you made bad mistakes, bad business mistakes, bad marriage mistakes, welcome to the club. He's not a high priest that doesn't understand any of that. Just come boldly and he'll help you when you need it, is what he said. You're going to be surprised when you get there. He's going to show you mercy, not judgment. Right? And he's going to give you help, grace, in times of need. That's the new covenant. That's the Elisha. God's salvation now is that's the spirit I fall on. Does that make sense to you guys? And he made it so, so simple. If you require anything, just come to the throne and ask. Because my throne is no longer of judgment, it's of grace, is what he said. And you're a son, you're full heir. If you realize, I'm trying to show you, you already have everything. You're a joint heir. So if you need anything, if you know what, hey, the old covenant said there was a promise. Whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. What's that promise to you now? Yes. Yes, bring me to remembrance. That's a real promise for you today. Those curses are all gone. That's why Jesus could rest. He destroyed the works of the enemy. Does that make sense? If you guys need health in your body, I promise you that promise is yes. Stop trying to have enough faith to receive it. Because faith was supposed to be the door opened and just come boldly to the throne and ask, Lord, I know Jesus paid the full price for this. I can have complete health in my body. Amen? I'm going to talk about a little bit about next week, just unraveling that whole Mark 11, 23, 24, and just show you how really beautiful and simple it really is. It's so much simpler. You just come to the Father and ask. It's so much easier. Amen? And he goes, you're the apple of my eye. I've got my eye on you. Trust me. I won't let you go through anything that you can't handle. I'll rescue you when you need it, but just let patience have its perfect work, and you're going to find that I was always there. I'm always going to help you. I'll never leave you. I'll always comfort you. That's the spirit of Elisha. I'll comfort you. Hey, if I go, I'll send the comforter. And you see Elisha, that's all he's doing. Hey, there's poison in the pot, so he goes, bring the bread. Who's the bread? Jesus himself. Hey, you got a debt you can't pay? Cut off the stick. Show me where this happened. Right? Axe head chopped down that old covenant, and you walked on water, just like Peter. You came out of the judgment and walked on water. Amen? There's no judgment anymore. So does that make sense? Those are types and shadows. So he's the new covenant spirit. I'll help you. In fact, it's a joy when you understand it. It's the Father's good pleasure for you to earn the kingdom. So stop trying to earn it. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah, man. You're in it. Praise God. You've come to the New Jerusalem. Now, to be part of that is so simple, guys. All he wants you to do is be Christian. Being a Christian is really cool. Despite maybe how you grew up. Because I grew up and I'm like, that's not that cool. My picture was the church lady on Saturday Night Live. And I had a bunch of them in my life. In fact, I was talking to my sister. She goes, who was that? And I told her. I told her it was this one Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to say names because a lot of people from my hometown watch. And she's like, oh, she was the church. I see, that's what you guys tormented me with when I was a kid. Hey, it's Sunday. Let's go to Sunday school. God, I got to go see the church lady, man. It was brutal to me as a kid. They're like, just like that. It's perfect. If I were going, man, this is who Jesus is. He's so cool. What's the dream? What do you want to do? That time I wanted to be a Miami Dolphin football player. It didn't work out. Oh, shoot. It didn't work out, but everything worked out okay. Amen? He goes, that's really nice, Mike, but I'm going to do seemingly better than that because you won't be very good. Anyway, so he goes, you're not good enough to play Division I even, so just go play rugby and drink a lot of beer and have fun. And I did, and it's just fun. He's never left me or forsaken me even through all of that. Amen? Met my bride through all that. It was beautiful. That's the new covenant, how good he is. Amen? Now, does he like me running? No, he goes, no, you're destroying yourself in the meantime, but I'll never leave you. I'll be right there with you. And as soon as you just turn to me, you go, real, I'm not ever going to punish you for anything you've ever done. This is the message of Christianity. Jesus loved you so much, he sent his son and took every judgment and mistake and penalty to himself. You are completely righteous and free. You just need to hear that. Does that make sense? And when you believe that, when he even died for you, guys, when you pass on from earth, you're going to get an eternal body, a glorified body, and you're going to be in his presence forever. You don't even have to fear death. Amen? Because that's over. Death's been defeated. Hallelujah. Don't fear the first death. Fear the second death, the spiritual death. Because if you believe in Jesus, you never have to worry. You can be the most defiant, worst criminal in the world. If you accept Christ, he goes, you will go to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen? And now, but he doesn't want you to stay there. He goes, I want to bring you all the way into the new covenant promises. Come into my rest. Come into the promises of God. Every promise is now yes and amen. So here's the good news of this. Hey, you know what? If you feel like you've twittered away your life, whatever, man, he restores. He restores the years of the canker worm. You're not too old, too young. He goes, I redeem time. That's what I do. You come to me as if it never happened and we'll make this party up. We'll restore everything. You need health in your body? It's yours. Just come to me and ask for it. Amen? And now you walk away not trying to have enough faith and standing on it and speaking at your mountain, all these things you're taught. Thank you, Father. I ask for it. I shall receive. Amen? Does that make sense to you guys? That's a new covenant Christian. You're now a son with full rights despite yourself. That's good news, is it not? So, does that help you guys? So the veil's been torn. Now, we're going to go to the throne boldly. Boldly and ask. And guess what? If you waver on the way out, is that promise still yes? Yes, you shall receive so that your joy may be full. And it's even more miraculous when you do it with this lack of faith. Go, man, I wasn't even believing that good. And he still did it. Yeah, so every mouth will be shut. Amen? Get off that. I'm trying to have all of this. No, it's simpler than that. That's what I'm trying to show you. So come boldly to the throne. You don't have to do it here, because if you can do it in your car or in private, because some of you guys don't dare say what you want. He put that desire there. He wants to give it to you. Amen? So if some of you guys want magnificent businesses, you want to be a world changer, you want to do this, you want to do all, he goes, I put that desire there. So just know that I'll do it for you. Cat, give it to me. Trust me, and I will do it through you. I'll give you the desire. I'll give you the motivation. Everything will happen through you, because you won't be living your life now. Christ will be living through you. Does that make sense? That's boldly to the throne. Hey, if you need your heart healed because of something you've done, Lord, just cleanse my heart so I have no more consciousness of this sin. If you need your brain healed, you need, man, I just want to have peace in my life. He goes, just cast it to me. I'll take care of it. I'm your caretaker. You're not a very good one, right? You're really not. Well, if you had more wisdom, my wisdom is Christ. Amen? And because of that, I can show him, Lord, this is where I fell. Show me where this thing fell. Cut that twig off and throw it right there, and you'll come up out of the judgment. Does that make sense? Christ has made unto me wisdom. And that'll make you more wise, because you'll think clearly versus all these... Right? I've got a demon! No, you don't. It'll be obvious if you do. We'll cast... You got incorrect thinking is what you got right now, right? And it's causing you to act like that. And hey, if you ask, they'll gladly tell you, well, I'm hearing these voices. Yeah, and you'll keep hearing them. What do I do with them? Go, that's not the voice. I hear one voice only, that I'm righteous, perfect, forgiven, holy, blessed, favored, loved because of Jesus' work. That's the new covenant spirit. I didn't give you that spirit of confusion, of mixture. I give you one spirit. Look at Jesus. Amen? That's a Christian. Isn't that cool? So now, you don't have to know. It sounds like blasphemy, but did the new covenant believers, did they know everything about their Bible? The Gentiles certainly didn't. He was doing the same miracles through them. Follow me? Now, am I encouraging you to read your Bible? Yes, but rightly divide it. Anything that looks like judgment, that's not for you. Amen? You're going to find mercy there. You're going to find grace there. So, now you can start doing things like this, and I know this is what you're supposed to saturate your mind with. If you need healing, know that you're already healed. Stop trying to get it. Start speaking at that. Not... I have it. That's what I have. Thank you, Father. Amen? I shall receive it. You guys get it? If you need peace in your life, thank you, Father. I cast my care to you, and I know I can just be patient, and my patience will have its perfect work, and I will have what I ask for at the end of the day. That's new covenant truths. Follow me?